This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. It's been 5 years since the start of the La Crosse Promise Program, a local initiative that provides college scholarships to families who buy or build homes in neighborhoods around downtown. In the last 2 years, 5 new homes have been built and 1 renovation is currently underway, as the program also works to help all La Crosse students prepare for college or technical school. Joining us to talk about the La Crosse Promise Program are Brian Leisinger, Executive Director of La Crosse Promise, Brian Fukuda, Community Development Specialist for La Crosse County, and Lissa Carlson, a La Crosse Promise homeowner. So it's been about 2 years since we last talked about La Crosse Promise here on Newsmakers, and I know that when they did that show back in 2015, you just accepted your first applicant for the neighborhood program and was kind of starting a fund for scholarships. So, you know, Brian, can you just fill us in on kind of everything that's been happening since the inception of the neighborhood program?
Sure. Since that first program, thank you, Lissa, the first house, rather, we've actually awarded 8 scholarships in total for homes and for 1 renovation. They're a diverse group of people who have moved into these homes. Some have kids who are about to enter high school. Others have younger kids. Some don't have kids at all and are eager to take advantage of the adult education piece of our program. So it's really, we feel like there's some real momentum right now. I think that's revealed to people that these are kind of great up-and-coming underrated neighborhoods, the Washburn and Palapog Hamilton neighborhoods.
Yeah, and Brian Fukuda, you've been kind of around since the program's inception. And, you know, I wonder if the progress that you guys have been able to make, were you expecting things to kind of move so quickly?
The progress with the neighborhood program to date has been incredible. I think, you know, from my perspective, we wanted to introduce this concept into the market and get people talking about it. And we hoped that some people would show an interest. And, you know, with Lissa's leadership in that regard of jumping on board right away and making an investment in that neighborhood, and then just continuing to tell the story to more people. We've had some great news coverage. We've had some great attention to the program, and it's really starting to take off. And so that's really exciting. I think you can really visually see the neighborhood changing. It's just fun to now drive through these neighborhoods and see all of the activity that's taking place and all the investment that's being made in our community. It's very exciting.
And Brian Leisinger, you know, what's kind of the current level of interest in the program? Do you have a lot of people kind of inquiring and are expecting to have more families and more scholarships this year?
We do, in fact. We have developed a bit of a queue. People who have, because of some of that news coverage, because of the hard work of others to get the word out, we have people sort of waiting. Right now, the housing market is such that I don't think that we could turn over properties fast enough for the people waiting for them right now. So that's a good sign, and we follow up on all the leads we get and stay in contact with them, and in kind also stay in contact with builders or developers who might help facilitate the process. And also, you have city and county incentives as well to get involved in these neighborhoods. So it's really a great time and a lot of great opportunities to try to get on the hook here.
And as was mentioned, Lissa, your family was the first to kind of sign on with the La Crosse Promise program. And, you know, I wonder if you could talk about, you know, why your family wanted to participate.
Well, the $50,000 in college scholarship was a huge driver. I would say that was first and foremost the biggest incentive for my family. In addition, it's been great to just be a part of improving my community, you know, and having a role in that.
Yeah, and what's your experience been like so far? Did you, build your own home, or did you buy a home from a contractor? I know there's kind of a couple different ways to get involved.
I built from scratch with Spies Construction, and started from square one. I found a plan online on Pinterest, and from there, we took it to an architect in town and modified it. And I love it. I love the house. I love the neighborhood. It was a great process and certainly well worth the investment.
Absolutely. And Brian, can you kind of explain, you know, as was mentioned, there's kind of a couple different paths that people can take. So can you kind of explain the process of, you know, if a family is kind of accepted into the neighborhood program, how that works?
Sure. As you said, there's a number of different ways that people can do it. We do have a renovate program. So if somebody has an existing home that just needs a little bit of work, maybe you want to put an addition on to add some space, or you want to build a garage, or you want to upgrade the home, that's a great project that could be eligible for a La Crosse Promise Scholarship. And then there's the model to just build a home from scratch. And so there's opportunity there. One of the really exciting things that that's happened over the last couple of years is we've really started to get some builder and contractor engagement with the program. And so now it's a lot easier to find a builder that kind of understands what the La Crosse Promise is about and is able to step in and really kind of help people through that process. Because as most people know, building a new house from scratch is kind of a daunting process. I mean, it's complicated, it's stressful, but if you can form that partnership with a builder who, you know, really knows what they're doing and can kind of walk you through that, it's very helpful and much more achievable for kind of your average family that might want to move into the neighborhood.
And Brian Leisinger, I know that, you know, several of the homes have also been built by contractors and then sold to families rather than, you know, families kind of taking the initiative. And so how has that, you know, process kind of worked?
Well, I think, you know, it's a win-win for everyone, right? You're turning over these old homes, frankly, some of them that are condemned or just need too much rehab to be salvageable. And so you see opportunity there for people to add homes back into the housing stock. But I think a few builders, those intrepid builders who got involved early on, frankly saw some payoff in that, some financial benefit in that. And with those kind of risks that they took paying off, I think they're willing to kind of double down. Like I said, those are underrated neighborhoods at the core of the city, just next to downtown. And so I think they're getting involved. I think they're also interested, obviously, in bettering their community, investing in their community, but they're also getting some return on that investment.
Absolutely. And Brian Fukuda, can you talk a little bit about, you know, the neighborhoods that are selected as part of the La Crosse Promise program? You know, why are these neighborhoods the ones that, you know, really need some focus here?
Sure. I think by and large, these are great neighborhoods. I mean, they're, as Brian mentioned, they're close to downtown. They're adjacent to major employers. They've got great parks. They've got great streets. The problem is that they have a deteriorating housing stock. They're just older. And so, you know, sometimes those older neighborhoods need a little bit more TLC, and you need to be able to you know, encourage reinvestment in those neighborhoods. You know, we did a lot of analysis on the front end of this and really trying to understand the challenges of our community. And the biggest thing that we came to was that, you know, these neighborhoods have some issues because there's, you know, concentrations of poverty and, you know, the housing stock that's deteriorating. If we're able to get people to see them for what they are and that they're great neighborhoods and there is opportunity there, that's when people start coming forward and want to make that investment and want to actually live and be a part of these neighborhoods. And so that was really the goal of the program, is to take neighborhoods that have those statistical challenges and help people get over those and start reinvesting in them again.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the La Crosse Promise Program, how the city is working to revitalize downtown while preparing more students to go to college and technical school. We're here with Brian Fukuda from the La Crosse County Economic Development Office and an advisor for La Crosse Promise, Brian Leisinger from La Crosse Promise, and Lissa Carlson, a La Crosse Promise homeowner. And Lissa, did your family already live in one of the La Crosse Promise neighborhoods, or, you know, did you move into one of these neighborhoods?
We lived nearby. We lived on Johnson. So it was really like a 6-block move for us.
Yeah, and what has been your experience kind of moving into the area?
A good one. That much closer. It's amazing what 6 blocks can do for how quick I can get everywhere in town. I really feel like I get everywhere faster. It's only 6 blocks, but it seems to have made a difference in how well I can travel around town, you know.
And have you seen, you know, we've been talking about how, you know, La Crosse Promise is definitely expanding, and I wonder if you've seen, just as, you know, someone who lives in those communities, any changes since the times that you moved?
Sure. We've actually only moved October 2016, and already in that time, I've seen more in just the circulation of my neighborhood, like 10 houses. There's 3, I would say, younger families that have moved into the area that and replaced in areas where homes where they were an improvement as residents.
And so right now, La Crosse Promise serves the Palpo, Hamilton, and Washburn neighborhoods, but I know you guys are planning to expand to the North Floodplain area. And, you know, Brian Leisinger, you know, why is the La Crosse Promise, you know, program kind of looking at this neighborhood?
Well, for similar reasons. I mean, you know, right now we've got this commitment of essentially 30 scholarships, 30 households for scholarships in those two aforementioned neighborhoods. And we like the momentum we've got going right now, and we'll fill those. I have no doubt that we'll fill those. And so we've just kind of listened to the community, honestly, and our donors to see, you know, where we should take it next because we do expect it to grow. And the north side is a natural fit, obviously another sort of core neighborhood just adjacent to downtown, and has experienced or is at risk of experiencing some of the same things that Brian mentioned earlier, deteriorating housing stock. You know, and then the challenges of a floodplain and what that means for homeowners who are facing, you know, flood insurance and things like that.
Yeah, Brian Fukuda, can you talk a little bit about some of the challenges that go along with living in the North Floodplain?
Sure. I think the biggest challenge is that obviously if you have a mortgage, you have to pay flood insurance, and so that that takes a lot of money out of your monthly paycheck, and so. That's certainly a challenge. But what we've seen is that now the city is starting to put some focus on that and really trying to help people get their houses out of the floodplain and really, you know, allow them to get out of that situation where they're having to pay flood insurance. The other regulation is that you're not allowed with a house in the floodplain to put significant improvements into your home. And so that's kind of held some of those houses back where people haven't really been able to put the investment into keeping them up as well as maybe you would hope. And so now if those folks are able to move their houses up out of the floodplain, it's a prime opportunity for them. They've got cash flow because they're not having to pay that flood insurance. But maybe they're able to use that to address some of the deficiencies of their house because they weren't able to do it in the past. And so that creates a nice opportunity for people to invest in their housing. And hopefully, if we're able to successfully fundraise, then take advantage of scholarship programs as well through the La Crosse Promise.
And so obviously expanding to the Northside neighborhood would be, you know, a change for the program. But I know another change you guys have already kind of experienced in La Crosse Promise is making scholarships available to adults, not just to kids. And Brian, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, you know, why La Crosse Promise wanted to make that change.
Well, you know, it goes back to I think the core of the mission. It's an investment in the city on two important fronts, you know, housing and education front. And education, furthering education or a higher education doesn't always just apply to kids coming out of high school. There are other people who either want to get more advanced degree or want to go back to school, didn't get a chance before. My mother was one of those people. So we're just trying to be open to different ways people want to use it rather than being more restrictive. We try to be more open to folks who want to take advantage of it.
And, you know, have you had people inquire on the kind of adult scholarships? What has been the interest level so far?
Yeah, I think actually two of the scholarships awarded are specifically for adult scholars. They'll start, going back to school, I guess, as they say, this next year.
Do you think this kind of represents, just maybe a larger community need in La Crosse, something that, you know, the city of La Crosse, the need to kind of pursue some secondary education for the current job market here?
Yeah, I think it is. But I should say, you know, we're talking about La Crosse Promise and sort of some things that are under the banner of that, but really are, our area partners, the city, the county, the school district, businesses, other nonprofits, our donors have really been our partners with this all along the way. And it's they've sort of driven us to be education-minded, education-focused. So I think it's, in that way, it's not just a small nonprofit pushing us. It feels like this collective of people that we get to be a part of that enables us to push the envelope a little bit in terms of elevating, the quality of your community through higher education, really.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, a variety of different businesses, organizations from around the community have kind of participated in this. And, one thing I noticed is that lending institutions have kind of come together. And Brian Fukuda, I wonder if you can kind of talk about, some of those kind of relationships you've been able to develop with lending institutions.
Sure. I think, this really illustrates what I think is the most powerful thing about the La Crosse Promise is that the promise has been effective at pulling together key stakeholders in the community to address the issues of the community. And so when we first started this, we started to think, maybe we would have some issues with achieving appraised values of these new houses because the neighborhood around them was more deteriorated. And so we recognized that as an issue. And Brad Sturm from Cooley Bank, who serves on the La Crosse Promise board, said, well, maybe I can help with that, And so he pulled together all of our local lending institutions, banks and credit unions from the community, and said, I think this is a problem that we can work together to address. And so they pooled their money. They said, we'll keep, a certain amount of loans that don't necessarily appraise out for sale into the secondary market. We'll keep those in-house in our financial institutions here and allow those loan-to-value ratios to be a little bit higher. And so that was key in making sure that this was going to be an attractive product for families to come in and take advantage of because our local lending institutions got behind it. And we've seen that time and time again with the community, with the donors, and saying, look, this is an issue. Let's see how we can come together as a community to figure that out. And, we've seen it with the builders. We've seen it with, other folks time and time again the La Crosse Promise has been effective at pulling people together and figuring those things out and then moving forward.
Do you think that relationship with lenders has maybe opened up the program to other families who may not have been able to participate?
Definitely. Yeah. I think, if nothing else, it just helps spread the word. Those financial institutions are seeing these people that are interested in building houses coming in to get pre-approved for loans or qualified. And so they can help to spread that message of, well, hey, have you looked at this neighborhood? Because if you build or renovate a home in this neighborhood, your kids could be eligible for scholarships through the La Crosse Promise. And so that's pretty neat. It's not only a tactical thing, but it's also a marketing thing.
That's Brian Fukuda, Community Development Specialist for La Crosse County, here with us to talk about local efforts to revitalize downtown neighborhoods and send more La Crosse students to college. Also joining us is Brian Leesinger, Executive Director of La Crosse Promise, and Lisa Carlson, a La Crosse Promise homeowner. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And so, you know, I wonder if, Brian, if there's been any kind of unexpected obstacles or challenges along the way since, you know, La Crosse Promise really started the neighborhood program.
Well, this is like full confession time. I've been on the job all of 2 months. But I've been also, thanks to people like Brian who've been at it since it started, about a decade ago, I've been brought up to speed. But I think, you know, when the idea was envisioned to begin with, I think there was some concept of who these people would be that would take advantage of the program. And I think even in these first 8 awarded scholarships, we've seen a diverse group of people, as I mentioned before, some from the La Crosse area, others coming from out of state who have wanted to take advantage. And that's how we've sort of seen different ways to expand or open it up to allow the adult learning scholarship. That was one reason that change came about. So, you know, when the La Crosse Promise team and board gets curveballs, we kind of like to consider, how are people intending to use these? How can we be more open? So that's really been the response so far. The renovation program is another thing that we're kind of looking at. How do we, you know, maybe expand that a little bit more? Because we're hearing from folks in the community who want to take advantage that there's a few hiccups in terms of trying to qualify for the policies that we have in place currently.
Yeah, and Brian Fukuda, I wonder what your thoughts are on, you know, maybe how things have changed since the start of the program and how you guys are kind of changing to respond to the needs in the community.
Sure. Well, if folks that were involved with this about a decade ago when we first started these discussions will remember, when we first started out, we wanted to replicate the Kalamazoo Promise, which is a full universal place-based scholarship program offering scholarship funding for every student in the entire school district of La Crosse. And so we set out with that goal in mind as well. We, you know, realized that the fundraising aspect of that was probably more than we could chew. So we took a step back. We've continuously, as Brian indicated, we've been able to take a step back, pull the right people to the table and adjust the program, really looking at what are the needs of our community specifically. And we you know, really arrived at, you know, we've got these great neighborhoods, but we really need to address the housing stock within them. And so we've been able to adjust our mission, or we've been able to adjust our goals and our tactics to be able to address that more specifically with a little bit more targeted reinvestment in the neighborhood through the programs as we have them structured now.
You know, and in talking about these neighborhoods, you know, Brian, you mentioned earlier that, you know, there are kind of pockets of poverty and that they tend to be kind of low-income areas. And, you know, Brian Leesinger, I wonder if you can talk about, you know, how La Crosse Promise is maybe working to make sure that, that you're not negatively impacting low-income families in the area. You know, how are you making sure that, you know, these projects aren't maybe pushing out other families?
Well, in part, we're simply following the lead of others. Like I said, the city, you know, there's Cooley Cap that's involved income-based housing as well as Habitat. And, you know, this is not a displacement program. This is not a gentrification program. This is identifying, like I said, pieces of blight or homes that aren't really going to be able to come back from what they are. And sort of doing targeted revitalization through sort of a home-by-home and family-by-family effort. But this is not a, you know, push people out so we can get other people in. It's not like that at all. So my hope is that people will see it as it is, as really a benefit to everyone. It's a benefit, obviously, to the people living in those communities, both the ones moving in and the ones who already live there, by bringing families, new people who want to establish a better community. I mean, the foundation of a great neighborhood is the people in it. But then, of course, you have new homes entering the housing stock. You have, you know, that has a positive impact on taxes. It has a positive impact on the school district in terms of kids staying in the district and going to those schools. So I think, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a negative about it at this point.
Yeah, Brian, I wonder if you have other thoughts.
You know, the goals of La Crosse Promise is the furthest thing from gentrification of neighborhoods. I think, as I stated before, we started with a really solid data analysis of the neighborhoods, and we saw that over time, these neighborhoods had become concentrations of poverty, and that's not a good thing. And so what we're really working towards is integration of the neighborhoods, not gentrification of the neighborhoods, because we really need to see a better mix of people living in the neighborhood. So it's not all poverty or it's not all wealthy individuals. It's a good mix, and that's really where we get the most healthy neighborhoods for everybody to thrive.
Brian Fukuda, Community Development Specialist for La Crosse County, is here with us today to talk about progress made by the La Crosse Promise Program. He's joined by Brian Leisinger, Executive Director of La Crosse Promise, and Lissa Carlson, a La Crosse Promise homeowner. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on local efforts to revitalize downtown neighborhoods and send more students to college and technical school. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers. And if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the La Crosse Promise Program, an initiative to revitalize downtown neighborhoods and enable more students to attend college or technical school. It's been 5 years since the program first started in La Crosse, and it continues to expand to new neighborhoods and families. Joining us to talk about the initiative are Brian Leisinger, Executive Director of La Crosse Promise, Brian Fukuda, Community Development Specialist for La Crosse County, and Lissa Carlson, a La Crosse Promise homeowner. And, you know, we're talking about, in the first half, we were talking about the neighborhood program. And, you know, I think that for a lot of people, building a new home or buying a brand new home can kind of seem like a daunting financial investment. But, you know, Lissa, in what ways have your experience been that, you know, this program's maybe attainable for anyone?
Right. I think the La Crosse Promise went to great lengths to try and make it a program that was accessible to everyone. And while I'm not independently wealthy, the $50,000 was a great incentive. I also didn't. It wasn't a program that involved any sort of grant or support to be able to build a house. It was just something that's available to anybody who wants to do it. And I think that's sometimes a misperception about the program that you have to. I've actually had people say things like, I don't think we'd qualify. Well, everybody qualifies, and that's based on the Kalamazoo model. So, anybody that's interested in the program can certainly look into it and explore it.
Absolutely. And, you know, Brian Fukuda, you've been, around with the program kind of since its inception, and you know, I wonder what you're kind of, 10 years out, what are you kind of expecting this program to look like?
It's a good question. In an ideal world, we wouldn't need things like La Crosse Promise in our community anymore. But 10 years out, I don't think we'll get there. I think we'll be going strong. Hopefully, looking at other neighborhoods, looking at other ways. As I said before, the La Crosse Promise has just really been such a collaborator, being able to pull other folks together and deal with some of the common issues that face our community. And so, continuing with the Future Center work that we're doing, continuing with neighborhood revitalization in whatever form we see the need for 10 years from now, I would hope that we would have moved on from the Paulpoke, Hamilton, and Washburn neighborhoods, because those neighborhoods are healthy, integrated, great places to live for all sorts of folks. But, you know, we'll find something else to do, I'm sure.
Yeah, Brian Leesinger, I mean, is there kind of an end goal? Like, how do you know when you've kind of reached the goal?
Yeah, to sort of echo what Brian said, you want to work yourself out of a job by doing so well at it. I think, again, looking to the community to tell us how we can serve. I mean, that's going to be, right now we have a pretty strong focus, and I think we can grow various models of what we have going right now. But I think always looking to the community to sort of inform us on the best way we can serve them. And always with, obviously, a emphasis on education and the vitality of the city's communities.
So we've been talking a lot about the neighborhood program that's part of La Crosse Promise, but you know, there's another side to the La Crosse Promise program that I want to touch on, and that's the Future Centers. So Brian, can you kind of explain, you know, what the Future Centers are?
Yeah, so this is, you know, our longest standing program, really kicked off about 5 years ago with Future Centers, which provide career support services and education support services for every high school student in the school district of La Crosse. So those centers are based in Central and Logan High School, but they're available to any high school student, and they range from you know, helping seek scholarships for college admissions process, the FAFSA process, a very important process for students to engage with, but can be very kind of tricky sometimes, and, you know, helping write scholarship essays and just a wide range of things, as well as formal activities outside of the school, like campus visits, there's job fairs, job shadows, just a wide range of things that our Future Center advisors do.
And Lissa, you know, as a parent with a son in high school, you know, why are these Future Center programs, you know, kind of the advising and the help with FAFSA and applying to college and technical school, why is that helpful?
Well, it's interesting because we had our first, my son is a freshman at Central High School in La Crosse, and we had a meeting with his guidance counselor, and the amount of work that he put into our meeting really impressed me. I really impressed me. And for him to have to take on the responsibility of that other piece that the Future Centers offers, I don't know how he'd do it. So it's nice that they can complement each other, that he can focus on helping Christopher get the classes he needs in high school to go on to college. And the Future Centers are there to, like it says, help him plan for the future.
Yeah, and Brian Fukuda, you know, why is this, you know, why are these kind of services something that La Crosse Promise wanted to provide to students?
Well, when we first started this, we wanted to try to get kids to higher education, but we thought, well, every kid isn't necessarily ready for higher education. They don't necessarily have the financial resources to get there. They don't necessarily know what to even expect. You know, I mean, there were, you hear stories from Kalamazoo that, you know, kids were, you know, didn't show up for higher education because they didn't know when the bus picked them up. Well, you know, there isn't a bus to take you to college. So, you know, they didn't understand that. And so we thought this is an important piece to this, is to really have a very hands-on presence in our high schools, working with students to let them know what to expect from higher education, and to help them find that path so we can efficiently use our donors' money to be able to get kids to a career. It's not about getting kids to higher education. It's about getting them through higher education and on to a successful career and a successful life. And so the Future Centers are vital to that. And I think as we've started to get into this more, I can't go to an economic development meeting any place without hearing from our employers about the challenges of workforce, the challenges of trying to find the right employees to fill the right jobs. And that's the other piece that the Future Centers can offer, is we're really working with students to find their passions, to find what they want to do, and then map out their path to get there and connect them with the right resources to get there. That might be a scholarship. It might be a job shadow, as Brian talked about. It might just be, you know, what institutions can I go to? You know, I want to be a hairdresser. Well, there's the Salon Professional Academy for that. Or I want to be an engineer. Well, you know, here's your path to get to that career, to get to, you know, the profitable future that you want to get to. And so, you know, building on what Lissa said, the high school guidance counselors are just overloaded with all the other things that come with the job of being a high school guidance counselor. And we were finding that, you know, a lot of times that future stuff was getting pushed to the back, and not anybody's fault. It's just, you know, you got to deal with the immediate needs of those students right away. And so La Crosse promised being able to fill that gap and work in partnership with our school districts. That partnership has been tremendous. I can't compliment our school administrators more, because they just, you know, they saw that need and worked with us to get it filled.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the La Crosse Promise Program, how the city is working to revitalize downtown while preparing more students for post-secondary education and training. We're here with Brian Fukuda from the La Crosse County Economic Development Office, Brian Leesinger from La Crosse Promise, and La Crosse Promise owner Lissa Carlson. And Brian Leesinger, you know, in what ways are you guys anticipating that the Future Center part of La Crosse Promise are going to be even more needed as you know, kind of the job market changes?
Well, you know, this is one where we can't really work ourselves out of a job. Ideally, we'd be adding advisors to try to keep up with the level of activity that students are able to engage with to sort of plan for their future, to see them coming in as freshmen, for example, instead of maybe just as junior and seniors. And we're starting to see that with over 2,000 kids who have come through our Future Center's doors for services in the first 5 years. So, you know, it's always good to think about expansion. But I do think, you know, on awareness, we still need to grow some awareness about these future centers in the schools, and I hope their high school students listening. I certainly hope their parents are listening and know that these services are available for free to every high schooler in the district, and that they should come in and see Andrew Lamb at Logan High School and Haley Moe at Central High School, who really carry this piece of the program right now.
Yeah, and you know, how have you, you know, in the last 5 years of kind of providing these services, you know, what kind of levels of engagement and maybe results, you know, have you guys seen from these products? You mentioned the kind of the number of students involved, but, you know, kind of what have you seen from response?
Well, kind of to what Brian said about the school district, kind of wrapping their arms around this idea too, these future centers have really been integrated into the school to try to kind of fill gaps and serve in maybe areas where there weren't services available before, and really complement what was available. The number of people taking advantage, and we have surveys out now to get this year school year's figures. I mean, the numbers are going up in terms of people who are taking advantage of the services, and we want to continue to grow those. But I think the percentage of students enrolling in college can kind of be a fickle thing, because, you know, we can't assume that we have that much impact while we do have an impact, you know, and it's really hard to measure what students take away from our services that catapult them into college. I think it would be unfair to assume that we have that great of role. And so we kind of see what people see nationally is that number, that percentage kind of goes up and down. And that's what we've seen over the last 5 years. You see a trajectory of more students enrolling in college and going, and then a downtick. And in part, that's also dictated by what the labor market is doing and the demand for good workers, and so we've seen more students also going into the labor market. So it's kind of a tricky question to answer, but we're always trying to push that number up.
Absolutely. And as you know, it's been about 5 years since you guys have kind of started the Future Center program. And, you know, Brian Fukuda, I wonder if, you know, there have been any changes in those services that, you know, to kind of respond to kind of the needs and what people are kind of asking for.
Sure. Yeah. And I can't compliment Andrew and Haley enough. Our Future Center advisors are always adjusting to the needs of the students. I mean, that's their daily job. They have a student walk through their door and have diverse needs from, needing help with an essay to, you know, needing to go visit a college campus or something like that. And so we've started to see, a very broad variety of services. We have started to kind of increase the presence in kind of the lunch and learns with different professionals in the area to just kind of learn about different jobs. We've started to do a lot more focus on job shadows, as you can, you know, as I talked about before, with, you know, employers really having this need to find good quality employees and get students on the right path to eventually be able to fill those jobs, or just try to get students interested in their field of work. And so we've been trying to answer the community need in that way. But Andrew and Haley just kind of address all of those needs and deal with all of these students. And, we've just had some really cool testimonials. There's a video out on our website of just, you know, hearing right from the mouths of these students that have worked with our advisors to share the impact that these advisors have had on their lives. And these two individuals are just impacting these, you know, so many students. And I think Haley said she measures her success by how many graduation parties she gets invited to, and she couldn't make it to all the ones she was invited to last year. So I think that's a pretty cool measure of success.
You know, Alyssa, you mentioned earlier in the program that, you know, the scholarship part of La Crosse Promise was, you know, why you wanted to participate in the neighborhood program. And, you know, I wonder if you could talk about, you know, what the scholarship kind of means for your family and the impact it's had.
Well, you hear a lot about the cost of college. And if you talk to a financial advisor, as we did early on, there's a lot of talk about how by the time your child goes to college, it's going to be like buying a house. And I don't know how far from wrong that is. I do know that I want to help my children go to college. I don't want that to be an impediment to their going. I don't think that $25,000 is going to cover it, so they're still going to have to get help from us and do their own part, which I think is important. When I think about my own college experience, my parents contributed about half and I contributed the other half. And I think that was a nice setup. It made me value my time there more, but it also kept me from having to work 40 hours a week to go to school or whatever.
You know, I think that we have, you know, heard a lot more and seen a lot more, you know, people paying attention to the impact that, you know, student loan debt has on communities and has on families. And, you know, Brian, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, you know, is Alyssa's situation pretty common of, you know, feeling like needing this extra help, of needing this scholarship was going to make a huge difference?
Yeah, I think it is. But as she mentioned, it's an important piece of the pie, not the whole pie. You know, there's still, that's why the Future Centers are so important. There's a component in which you need to educate the students going into college how to be their best in college. They need to feel empowered. They also need to feel responsible for that education. It's not something that's handed to them or that they receive. And you know, also as a holder of student debt myself, college is not going to get any cheaper. And so, if we're going to keep pushing it on our kids, which I'm going to do on my own kid, I'm also going to need to find more creative ways to help her afford it, not carry her through it, but to make her feel empowered that she can carry herself with help from others.
Yeah, and Brian, I wonder, you know, why is kind of looking at, you know, student loan debt and kind of the cost of education, you know, why is this really a community issue? Why is this something that the community should care about?
Yeah, it's a huge issue for the community because it impacts spending and the economy in so many different ways. I think if you look at our millennial generation, you know, coming out of college and carrying all of this debt, you know, those are the folks that we're counting on to buy houses and buy cars and buy furniture and buy, you know, everything that they need. And the more that they're not able to get the credit to be able to make those purchases, the longer they're going to have to delay those purchases. And that has serious implications on our entire economy from top to bottom. And so, you know, strapping young people with, you know, all of this significant debt as they're trying to start their professional lives is just not a healthy way to do it. And so I think, you know, that's where it becomes a community issue.
That's Brian Fukuda, Community Development Specialist for La Crosse County and advisor for La Crosse Promise, here with us today to talk about local efforts to revitalize downtown neighborhoods and send more La Crosse students to post-secondary education and training. Also joining us is Brian Leesinger, Executive Director of La Crosse Promise, and Lisa Carlson, a La Crosse Promise homeowner. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And Brian, you know, you mentioned that, you know, the Future Center is maybe not something that's ever going to kind of go away or not be needed in the community. And, you know, I wonder, you know, kind of what are the next steps for the Future Center program?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think, as Brian mentioned earlier, just when we think we've figured out everything or maybe addressed every student issue that's ever happened, another one will walk in the door. So I think one piece of it is certainly making sure that our advisors are equipped to do the best service to students that they can. So that's continued training and experience for them. You know, ideally we would be able to serve directly the other high schools in the district in an office. You know, it would be more accessible for them. We'd have more staff to be able to go out and do outreach to students and actually start addressing younger kids, going to the middle schools, perhaps elementary schools, and start planting these seeds a little bit earlier. I see that as kind of an evolution of those programs.
And Brian Fukuda, you know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, the La Crosse Promise program was kind of inspired by other similar programs. You mentioned one in Kalamazoo. And I wonder if La Crosse Promise has been inspiration for other communities, if we've seen other communities kind of reaching out and taking a look at our program.
We certainly have, yes. We get calls quite often, and there's a PromiseNet conference every year that's held most often in Kalamazoo. Sometimes they've ventured out into other Promise communities across the country. But it's been a great networking experience for all of these Promise communities across the country. But we've seen a lot of interest in how we're doing things here because it is different. It's different. It's more targeted. I think we put a lot more work on the front end than a lot of communities did. And so we're kind of built to more directly address community needs. And the Future Centers has been something that's gotten, we actually modeled the Future Centers after a similar program in Denver. But we've gotten a lot of interest in our program as well, because it really started with the collaboration of the city, the county, and the school district all at the same table talking about these things. And that's unique.
Yeah, and I wonder, are there other Promise communities in Wisconsin that you guys work with?
I know that there has been a group in Milwaukee that's been looking at Promise Promise type initiative. I think, you know, they're not quite as far along as we are, but I think they're moving the ball forward, and I think we'll see some pretty exciting things coming out of Milwaukee as well. We've talked to some other communities around the state, but to my knowledge, I don't think any of them have gotten to the point that they're really starting to push it forward yet. But certainly a lot of interest.
Yeah, and Brian, you know, you mentioned earlier that this has really been a community effort, that we've seen a lot of kind of partners. And you know, I wonder if you can talk more about, you know, who all in the community has really been invested in this, and you know, why is this something that kind of touches everyone's lives?
Well, Brian just mentioned the big ones, obviously the city, the county, and the school district. But I mean, you have, you know, big time donors who have stepped up when this was just an idea, when this was just a vision. There were big time donors who stepped up to make it a reality. You know, and then you had the builders we talked about who got in the game. And if you're addressing an issue with your community that like I said before, impacts the housing and education, I mean, those are two fundamental pieces to the quality of a person's life, you know, and so those things sort of have a ripple effect on the entire community, in the quality of the people that live there, the quality of the jobs that are there, the quality of the housing stock. I just see it kind of spreading out across the city.
We've been talking with Brian Leisinger, Executive Director of La Crosse Promise, Brian Fukuda, Community Development Specialist for La Crosse County, and Lissa Carlson, a La Crosse Promise homeowner, about the impact of the La Crosse Promise program and how the initiative hopes to continue to revitalize city neighborhoods and help more families access college and technical schools. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.